You're listening to the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction. Email your questions to edgeconstructionradio@gmail.com. Once again, here's Sean Preble on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show, brought to you by Edge Construction here, 1310 WIBA. Hanging out this morning with Mike Tuig, owner at Edge Construction. You can learn more about them online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's edgeconstructioncompany.com. Telephone number 608-636-3343. That number's so easy to remember, 636-EDGE. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Great, Sean. How are you doing?
We had quite the conversation before the show, and we're going to talk about some things to be asking.
Only the good things.
Good stuff. Yeah, of course. It's all good stuff. And it's kind of, this though is a bit of a wish list about some of the things as homeowners you should be asking a remodeler before you meet. And a really, really inclusive, good list as far as just really good questions to be asking your remodeler. And I think sometimes people don't do necessarily their due diligence is kind of doing a little bit of prep before it gets going is maybe having some ideas or kind of having a little bit of understanding. And of course, the other thing too is it's kind of a two-way street is when it comes to picking a remodeler, making sure that everybody works together. Let's talk about some of the things. And before we kind of get to the specific list of items for you, Mike, kind of with some of that wish list, does it make it easier when people come to you with kind of a basic overview of kind of what they're looking to do or how does that work?
Yeah, that is the best thing. The more it's kind of fleshed out. And usually by the time people get to that point where they're going to call a remodeler or somebody like us that bring us into the fold, they've been thinking about this remodel for years. Yeah. Right? Like you don't go, well, I love my kitchen today and then tomorrow I better call somebody, right? But I think like we've talked a lot on doing homework on design before you call a remodeler, before you, building a portfolio on House or Pinterest or something like this, putting together this library of pictures and things that you like, or at least figuring out what you like. You know, that's pretty helpful on the design side. And a lot of people, I'd say most people have done that kind of homework, but they haven't really thought about who's going to do the work or maybe sometimes because they like listening to you on the radio, Sean. They think, okay, we're gonna call these guys. But it's in both of our interests if it's the type of project that we do and it's in our wheelhouse and we're really prepared to do it. And there's a lot of things that we have to come together on. But I think it's a really what questions would I ask? I look at this topic, like, okay, if one of my kids was going to call somebody, I'd want them to be prepared before they call them. Like what things are really important, the nuts and bolts, should they find out about this person or this company that they're going to work with?
You know, one of the things I remember many years ago, you and I meeting and talking about doing a show together and some of the stuff that great stuff that you guys did at Edge Construction. I remember you talked about things like trim work, for example. And I remember thinking, what is all included in trim? Because it's something I've never thought about before. But understanding, making sure that it's the right contractor for the job. When we talk about interior remodeling and we talk about additions and those type of things, obviously those things are right in your wheelhouse, but not every remodeler does all the same things, do they?
They don't. And we've grown into doing more than trim work, right? I started as a trim carpenter, so you know what a trim carpenter is.
Yes, I do.
So it's all that woodwork on the inside of the house that you see. It's all that visible stuff. So I spent my years outside framing and building houses from ground up. Then I got lucky at one point and got my chance to go inside and really learn the trim part of it. And that is still a big portion of our company, our trim carpenters. So when somebody calls us and says, I want to do a staircase, we don't go, oh, we do one or two of those a year. We don't really want to do that. We're like, yes. Finally, somebody wants to do stair work. Or the woodwork, you know, we do several projects a year where we just trade out trim and doors and all that stuff you see and modernize houses like that. But yeah, that's kind of where we started. The interior projects and it's morphed into more than that now.
It is, and that you mentioned, you know, doing things like, you know, regularly doing projects. You mentioned staircases, which you guys do a lot of those. Is that a good question to be asking? Is kind of how familiar are with these type of projects, with these type of design and construction builds?
Right. Yeah. That is, I think, the most important question. If you're, we get to call a lot on the outside stuff, windows, siding, and roofing.
Oh yeah,
and I understand it. People will see us doing some of those things on our projects, but it's a different kind of contractor that specializes in windows, siding, roofing, especially. We term them replacement contractors. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much are specific. They're the window guys. Do windows? They're familiar with just about every type and style and type of what you know whatever you can run into. That is their thing. Sometimes they do fall down a little bit on the inside of the trim work. Like if my trim carpenters would do a little different job on the inside than a replacement contractor sometimes will do when they're putting that window in. It's just tough for us to do those type of replacement jobs. We occasionally get talked into something like that. I hate to say it. It's not that we can't do it or they can't do a good job of it. We had a job a few years ago where we remodeled a lake house in Lake Mills or a couple of years ago. And when we were tearing apart the inside of the house, we noticed some water damage. And it was, or some I don't know what you call it, water damage, I guess I'll call it, because it was their bathroom vents were all just vented into the roof. And basically the moisture that generated rotted some of the roof structure. They knew they needed a roof. I really wasn't thinking about it because I didn't really want to do it. And it wasn't it's not our thing. But they talked us into it because there was so much structural that had to happen. And just to give you an idea, in one day we tore all the shingles off. We did truss repair, I think, on 20 trusses. We replaced 40 sheets of plywood and hand shingles back on in about 10 hours. Now, I'm lucky enough to have this workforce that we can really pound it. But when I really looked at it, I go, you know, that somebody else could have been more efficient, believe it or not. I mean, if that's what they do all the time, then they're going to be better at it.
It makes me think of, like, for example, you go to an oil change place, they get in, they get out, they do oil, they do it well. You've got an issue with, you know, you need a new stereo installed. You're probably not going to take it to the car, the place that changes your oil down the road. It's just not in their wheelhouse. Now, there are places that do both oil changes and they do vehicle stereo installation. But again, right job, right team to be working on those type of things.
Well, and maybe you shouldn't buy your kitchen from the a roofer, right? Like, somebody, I mean, we do a lot of our own roofing. We hire, we have a friend of mine and owns a roofing company, and occasionally we will get him to help us out on projects that are either too big for us or more complicated than I want to get it. Maybe it'll have some weird flashing thing that's got to happen, and boy, that's not something we do every day. Yeah. So a homeowner is better off if we bring a specialist in. On the inside projects, okay, the kitchens, baths, I think there's another issue here that you need to talk about, and that is when the age of the house comes in. So if we're doing a bathroom on a 1970s and up house or even 60s and up house, boy, the amount of contractors that can handle that type of job are much bigger than somebody that is doing a bathroom in, say, a 1940s house, 1930s house. So that's another question you got to get to.
Some of this stuff is, and you mentioned roofing or those type of things, is like when you guys are doing additions, you are doing that type of thing, though, right?
We are. Yeah. Like we would never hire out somebody to replace windows in a project that we're working on. And we had a project that we started a couple weeks ago. I think there's three new windows going in that project. The one before that had one new window in the kitchen. We had a bigger project where we did an addition in two areas on a house. We replaced pretty much all the windows in the house on that house. So it's not like we can't do it. It's not like we don't study it. We don't learn the best techniques. We don't. It's just that the people that do that day in, day out, that's if you're doing that house, that's who you need to get.
And Mike, you were talking a little bit about kind of the kind of work that you guys do at Edge Construction. The other thing, too, is your house page, for example. Very popular. A lot of people go check out your work, not just here in Madison, not just here in Dane County, not just here in southern Wisconsin, not even here, just here in the United States, sometimes around the world. Do you ever get phone calls from people and maybe, you know, central Illinois saying, hey, I saw your guys' work? Is that an important question, though? Obviously, that's kind of a little bit extreme, but yeah, where's your territory, like understanding kind of where you work out of that type
I think
of
that's the the most important first question is, do you work in my in our area? And as we get busier, as our Edge gets busier, we generally work within an hour of Madison. But in the past year or so, that area has shrunk because there's so much here at home that we just don't feel like we've got to venture off farther. Now, that means that we're just finishing a job up in Lodi, and I know that doesn't seem like that far away, but that's probably maybe that 35, 40 minutes is a good radius for us. I have friends that work in different parts of the country, East Coast. Some of those contractors go from DC to Delaware, you know, like they're doing, depends on the job, how big it is, where they've got people positioned. They just go wherever that work is. We get calls a lot from the Milwaukee area, mm-hmm. Believe it or not. I wish we could do work over there. I just can't logistically figure it out. I've got some people that live halfway there, so it's not like it wouldn't work for us. It's just, you've got to deal with this design process, and there's a lot of face-to-face and back and forth and picking out product and things like that. And I don't know. I don't feel like we could do a good job of that if we said, okay, we're going to have a design day and we just conquer that all in one day. You don't get the reaction time. You don't get, there's a lot of things you don't get. As far as doing the work, we've been sort of talked into breaking our rule once in a while. I'll give you one, that happened to us a few years ago, with somebody by Wausau actually. And I don't know how they were listening to the show, but they listened to the show. And they initially just asked us to design their kitchen because they just couldn't find. They liked our projects. They liked our pictures online, probably Hauser or our website. And they just weren't seeing that up there and from the remodelers up there. Now, I'm sure that there's somebody good up there. They just need to filter through and find that company. But once we designed their kitchen, they paid us to design it. It was a pretty big job. Then they came back about 6 months later and said, listen, we can't find anybody to do it. What would it take? Like, would you come up here? We'll give you some incentive pay so I could pay my guys to drive or stay overnight. Kind of just kept after us. And finally we actually did the job, but there were caveats. I said, listen, we got to have an expanded schedule. If this thing might sit for a few months, we've got to fit it into our schedule, because if it can hit a time where we don't have enough work, then, you know, we can do it. But yeah, generally I think it's really important to not push people into doing something they're not comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. So we've had people that really try and push us into doing work farther away, and it's not a good fit for us, especially at that time, for one reason or another. It's not that we don't like the job or want to do it. It's just not a good fit at that point in time.
Is some of it too is we talk about this stuff. I know your location right here off the Beltline is pretty central to kind of, you know, you can go east, you can go west real quickly, north, south from the interstate. Was that part of why you chose to open when you made that move?
Well, kind of. I mean, we wanted to be close to the Beltline. Our location, I always say, it's good enough. Like, it's nothing fancy, but it's very accessible for almost everybody in Madison. I also live on the east side, so I was a little selfish and said, okay, if I can not... You know, if I'm mid part of the Beltline, that adds another 20 minutes to my day. So we lucked into finding our location. We're so happy there. It fits us, and I think our customers seem to like it too.
Does it help though, kind of getting places quicker since you're right on such a main thoroughfare? And again, I mentioned the interstate's a stone's throw away as well, which has to help.
It's pretty much easy to get everywhere. And the location area for us, you know, if you said, okay, Dane County is where we work, it's a pretty Dane County. It's not a long drive to anywhere in Dane County. Yeah. It seems like so. Again, when I talk to my friends that live in different areas, they're like, wow, you have so much, so compact. Most of our work's within 15 minutes, 20 minutes of our office. So
you ever get like Rock or Jefferson or Dodge or anything like Columbia? Anything
we
like
do.
That?
Yeah, we've done jobs in Columbus and. I think Beaver Dam one time. That's kind of a little bit far for us. Jefferson County, that's where I live. That's easy to do. So Eastern or the Western Jefferson County, we're doing jobs down by you, Edgerton. I don't know. We got a little niche happening down there right now.
It's a great place. I'll tell you.
We love it down there. I think it's a cool little town. And for some reason we got going on houses in the country down there, and we're just finishing up another addition. We tore half a house off, put an addition on it. And, but that's easy to do.
Talking this morning with Mike Tuig, owner at Edge Construction, kind of going through his wish list, some of the questions homeowners should be asking of home remodelers before they take that initial meeting, and some conversations, some of the things to think about before you get rolling on that remodel. We're going to continue our conversation with Mike, talk about some more things and questions to be asking. In the meantime, if you haven't checked out the website, edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's all one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Their telephone number, 608-636-3343. That's 636 Edge, EDGE. We'll continue our conversation with Mike Tuig of Edge Construction. We'll do that next as the Home Remodeling Show continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
The Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues now on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Telephone number 636-3343. Number, so always remember, it's 636-EDGE. Putting together some questions to be asking your remodeler before you meet, some great stuff. Kind of what area do you work in? What kind of jobs do you do regularly? Do you do this kind of job regularly? And Mike, during the break there, I was talking about and I was asking you just about scheduling and how everything gets scheduled, because I know it's like a ballet. It's very, very coordinated or synchronized swimming, maybe. Yes. But I was asking, I said, how does that all work, knowing who's going to be where, when, and what's going on? And you were sharing with me some of your scheduling stuff. Is that the type of question about, you know, timelines and schedules probably should be talked about fairly early in all of this?
Yeah. So the timeline is usually one of the first things that people ask. Okay, do you have time to do our project? And I might ask you, are there any dates you're trying to hit or stay away from? You know, some people say, well, we got a wedding in June. We want to stay away from that, or we want to be done by that. So those things are important. Right now, as you can imagine, just doing the work has gotten a lot more challenging. Doing the same task for I don't know all the reasons, but we have double the labor force on our remodeling side that we had last year, and we're doing probably about the same work. And the reason is it's just constantly dealing with material issues, and those things affect your schedule. And it's we went through this thing where things got expensive, and then they got expensive and it took longer to get them, and now they're expensive, they take longer to get, and the quality isn't always what we thought it was going to be. And so we're having to, we're actually evaluating our suppliers based on that stuff now. We're saying, okay, how is this going to, we're going to make changes towards better product. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to make excuses for product. But sometimes it might take a little longer to get that better product. And so as long as it's consistent and we can, that's the key to scheduling, is being able to get these things when you need them. We'll talk about all the ways the schedule can get off right now because of material. But right now I have put the edict out. It's, listen, we need to stretch out our process a little bit, because it just doesn't work to rush things, whether it's in design or getting a job started. Everybody's got to just bring it down a notch, because I don't know if you saw this stat that it just came out recently, that inquiries about remodeling are up about 60% from pre-COVID. And it's all the same people doing the work, Sean. We have not, you know, been able to double our workforce.
60% more, yeah.
So, well, we have, but generally, there's not an influx of people running to construction. So if we increase our workforce, we're stealing from somebody probably.
What's interesting too is a perspective that I hadn't thought about too. When you talked about, we often think of, okay, we've got maybe the wedding or something coming up. I think get the work done before then, but also in some cases it maybe we want to, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe we want to hold off on starting until after this date or kind of, but really being very proactive about what is the schedule going to look like, and what's the optimal time to do this work?
Right. I think that's an exercise that's really healthy for a homeowner, and say, you know, listen, some people don't like their house torn up for the holidays. You know, if it can't be done or mostly done by Thanksgiving, then maybe we'll start it after that. You know, we're actually probably out into next winter, especially for the bigger projects. This year's kind of full, and part of the reason is we're we're creating space in our schedule. Now for smaller things, bathrooms, kitchens, some of that interior stuff, we still have time to fit that stuff into the fall and next winter. But it's just like I said, it's more of a challenge. It's not, if you're in a rush right now, I think your options are going to be really limited, you know, as to who can do the work. And another saying that I kind of have is just that good contractors should be busy, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter when, doesn't matter what time of year. If they're not busy right now, I don't know. They either just started or the reputation isn't built yet but I like the timeline question. I think that's an important thing. It's hard. It's a hard thing for a homeowner to have a realistic idea of when could a job start. Cabinets we used to get in 3-4 weeks. Now we're more like 14 to 16 weeks. Mm. That's quite a chill pill. You know, like that's really moving it off. If Amazon tomorrow, Sean.
Oh,
said,
my gosh. Yeah. I don't even want to think about it, Mike.
Pandemonium.
Yes. Is an important question to, excuse me, is an important question to ask about how we communicate as once this project gets going, what's the communication flow like? Is how do we stay in touch and up to date on things? Is that something kind of upfront to be wondering about?
It is. I think for both sides, we want enough communication so that for sure, if something comes up, we want you to let us know right away. If something's bothering you, you need to get it off your chest. You need to ask those questions. Don't let it build up. We generally now have. I always think it's a little bit, it can be too much communication, and you're probably going, what, how is that possible? Well, there's a lot of people that are used to this in their daily life. Just every time a thought hits you, you're getting a text, you get an email, and that's not a healthy thing for getting the work done. So I want to have a realistic amount of communication. I talked to our homeowners and our people basically about saying, okay, when this was me and I was doing the work all those years ago, I would let people know on Friday what I thought was going to happen the next week. That was our communication. and people rightly felt that it wasn't enough. But now we'll have sometimes 20 and 30 contacts a day. And the biggest complaint probably is still not enough communication. It's really tough. And so I think that's something that is worthy of a discussion right away.
It's good stuff. As we talked this morning with Mike Tuig, owner at Edge Construction Online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's edgeconstructioncompany.com. Telephone number 636-3343 and number 636-EDGE. Might have to type in that 608 area code, depending on your phone. You know, that's the way they make things do the 10 now. By the way, too, as we're talking about some of these things to be asking a contractor up front, things like permitting and those type of things is probably an important question. Who pulls permits? Are you able? What are you contract? You know, what are you licensed to do work-wise as well? And that's got to be a pretty important part of this also.
Right. So the deal on permits is that you, Sean, if you're going to do your own work on your own house, the state, the entity, whoever is inspecting your township, your city, hires an inspector to check that work, and you can pull your own permit without any kind of license, without any kind of instruction, without any kind of skill set, you can do all this stuff.
And not a good idea, by the way.
It's not, well, it may or may not be a good idea.
I'm seeing it personally, not a good idea. But
for
yeah.
you personally.
Yeah.
There's kind of that, used to be, I don't know if that's still out there, the kind of entry-level contractor that would basically talk homeowners into pulling a permit for them because they don't have the correct licenses and insurances. And I will tell you, it is not a tall hurdle to get over to be able to get that contractor's license. Every 2 years, I have to do about 12 hours of continuing education. And believe it or not, some of those classes are, well, some are easy, and some are like you have to read the material. You can't just skate through like I did in school and became a carpenter. You've got to do some work. You also have to have a fair amount of insurance, which is really important. So basically, if your insurance gets out of date, you won't be able to pull permits. They let the state know. The state will suspend your license, and you're not going to be able to pull it. So it's there's some protection there for a homeowner, right? You've made this effort to get the contractor's license. Means you've got insurance and you've done a little education. I think it's also a layer of responsibility, right? So if this contractor that got you to pull your permit moves to California and you got all these problems, and the state says, well, yeah, who is this? You pulled the permit. So my meaning is it's an extra layer of responsibility. So I homeowners a lot of times are going, you know, do I pull the permit? Do you pull the permit? I said, listen, you always want me to pull the permit. For one, if I can't, it's a problem. For two, it's that extra layer of responsibility. It's extra protection, really, for that homeowner. I would be in trouble with the state or the entity, whatever, the city, township. Mm-hmm. You're not out there on the hook by yourself.
Talking this morning with Mike Tuig. Good, important thing to know there, too. Talking this morning, of course, with Mike Tuig, owner at Edge Construction. We'll talk about design. We'll get to that. We'll talk about some other things as well when it comes to some questions to be asking your home remodeler before you meet. We will do that next. In the meantime, head to the website, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Now is the time to check it out, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Great website, great resource. Links to House, Pinterest, Facebook. Also some great work right on the website. That's edgeconstructioncompany.com. Telephone number 608-636-3343. That number 636-EDGE. We'll see our conversation with Mike Tuig of Edge Construction next as the Home Remodeling Show continues right here, 1310 WIBA.
You're listening to the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction. Email your questions to edgeconstructionradio@gmail.com. Once again, here's Sean Preble on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. All one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. A fantastic website. Great resource to learn more about the team at Edge Construction. Also, they're regularly updating it with the most recent projects as well as you can go back and listen, look at their portfolio at edgeconstructioncompany.com. Cool thing there as well, the links, House, Pinterest, and Facebook. If you haven't checked out Pinterest before, Pinterest House, you probably checked out Pinterest House. It's an amazing resource for doing remodeling. Telephone number 608-636-3343. That number is 636-EDGE. And Mike, it really does feel like a Saturday morning this morning. Talking this week about some of the questions to be asking a home remodeler before you begin. And we were talking about permits before the break, and kind of along that too, things like design. Do you, like, you guys get things that are designed sometimes by outside designers, don't you? Is that a question that you should be asking, is who does the design? Can I have another designer do it? Do you have designers in-house? If so, do you want us to use your designer? Is that a question to be asking about as well, is who does this stuff?
It is. So we're, I guess you'd call us a design build mm-hmm. contractor. We have in-house design. We have a showroom. We've got, we pull basically flooring from several showrooms in around town, around Madison. So we use a few different contractors for that. And we also install a lot of our own stuff. So everything from LV, all that vinyl plank stuff, the LVPs, LVTs, carpet, tile, hundreds of samples of tile, to countertops, cabinets, all that stuff we have in-house. So you can see that all in one place. That design process is for us been a great thing, because the pictures online, those great pictures, are a marriage of construction and design. And when you have it in-house, you know, we get after each other. Like, the designers will say things like, well, I know we designed this, and I thought you said you could build anything. And what they're saying is, you know, just build it and shut up. And we might whine a little bit, because they'll take something off of House that they found, or Pinterest that they really like, and then, you know, modify it and try and incorporate a project. And that's really what's happening now. We also are, it's less than it used to be, where somebody comes in and says, I've got a designer. Sometimes they'll have a designer that they know independently that kind of roughed out the project. Maybe they did some preliminary drawings, and now they're going to bring it to us, and we'll take it from there. Sometimes that designer might want to stay involved, and the homeowner will pay them to be involved right from the start and to the finish. And there's nothing wrong with that either. We are open to that. And I think most remodelers are. It's just that we have it in house, so we kind of forget there's other people out there in the world, I guess.
I think that's an important. Are there other contractors? Do they do design in house? Is that becoming more common, or is that, like, in the industry? What goes on there? Is, like, do people have the same kind of setup you have, or is that something that's kind of unique to Edge? Or
I don't want to say it's unique, but I don't think there's many, at least in our area, with our setup. I mean, it's taken us a long time to get here. from the showroom to the people that can build this. Our people on the ground that actually build stuff now grudgingly realize that it's half the story, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care how good your carpenters are, your plumbers are, your electricians are. Without that great design, you just don't end up with the same thing. And the stuff that I design, where I help people through that design process all those years ago, I'm sure was to a lesser level. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that I'm sure there's... I guess we don't go hang out in each other's showrooms. I'm sure there's people that are other people that are great. And I've got friends around the Madison area that are very good remodelers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly sure how they get through the design process. Most of them have somebody on staff. It's a little rare to have the showroom, I think.
Okay. Yeah. And I was, cause I'm always like, what you guys have is pretty impressive. And then I'm like, yeah, but how does that all work? That is fascinating.
The advantage to this is, you know, if you go to just a flooring store, mm-hmm. man, the choices are kind of overwhelming. So what our designers do, they'll kind of pare things down based on where they think you're headed and what your style is. So you're not having to look at everything. You're getting to look at all the cool stuff that we hope that you're going to like, and you get to pick from that. And so, once in a while, somebody will say, you know what, I'm not seeing enough here. I want to go look, and we'll take them. We'll take mm-hmm. you out and help you through that design process. But I think it's such an efficient way to do it. You know, when you can look at cabinets, tops, all the flooring stuff and all the tiles, and we've got a, you know, bathrooms set up there. We can show you what a tile walk-in shower looks like. We can show you all the options for these things just in the same place. It's pretty handy.
See how they match up and how everything kind of works. That is really, really cool. What about, and I know one of the big things and important things with you, Mike, is being ordered, like things very well spelled out and very clear. When it comes to costs and when it comes to estimating costs, that's an important thing about what methods are used and what's kind of, is there money held in reserve for things that may pop up and those type of things. That's an important part of this early on kind of interview process of getting to know each other, is how do you estimate the cost of a project? And once the project begins, how much flexibility is there? Is there things that need, before we go to contract, do we want to have everything there? Do we want to have some kind of wheel room and kind of leave some things out? And how, that's an important question there, isn't it?
It is, because there are contractors. I've seen people have showed us other people's bids where it's a one-page sheet and everything is kind of priced out individually. Like, so this much for cabinets, this much for install, this much for overhead and whatever. We don't do that. So if you're used to that and like that, you might be a little frustrated with us, because we do what I call it a fixed price. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but it's what I call it. It means that we price the end project. Everything's done. I don't operate well on the allowance base. Like if you're building a house, generally in the past, and I don't know if it's still like this, but some contractors are, where they'll go, well, okay, we'll give you a range of this much per foot for your flooring, or $25,000 to $30,000 on this new house for flooring. You need to stay in that range. And sometimes people are built this way where they like knowing that, and versus where we go, okay, this is the end price. If that's too high, say we have to get to a different number, we start looking at options and ways to kind of get it down there. We don't go, it's not sort of like a la carte shopping. I don't know if I'm making sense.
But, no, it makes for, I hear that. What's that? What's the term you use there? For like a kind of expenses, there was a term, and I was going to use it when we set it up. It's a common term, and I totally missed it for like
Okay, there's another construction term that, mm-hmm. that is out there, fixed price, and then it's called cost plus. This is where it's very popular on the East Coast. You get to see the bills for everything, like every 2x4, every outlet box gets priced out every Monday. They use a multiplier for some people use all of the includes labor. Some people add hours on top of that, plus a multiplier to get some kind of margin in there, and then you write a check every Monday for those cost plus things. Some of these projects have no end cost. Just keep buying things. Okay, now we got a problem, right? Okay, the good part is you get to know what everything costs. The bad part is we don't know what it's going to cost. I mean, we have you're probably getting some kind of ballpark figure for down the road, but I don't know how you stay on it. How do you, it takes, it's so easy to get off budget. So I'm not built that way. I like the fixed price thing. You know, you're not buying 2x4s and drywall. You're buying a done kitchen, right? That's the, you know, if you can find a price that you're satisfied with, you're getting all the things you want. That's really where we're headed.
That's a really good good thing. And the word I was thinking was allowance. I don't know why I didn't jot that down.
Yes.
And I know you mentioned it, and I thought, I was going to add this. For some reason, it kept slipping my mind. But really good questions to be asking. We're going to talk a little bit more about dollars and cents. And one of the things that people often may hold back on, but it's an important thing, is what is your budget? What's kind of the starting? What's kind of the high end, low end? What are you trying to look to do? And can it be done? We'll find out from Mike how that's handled and why that's such an important question. We'll do that next. In the meantime, you've been to the website, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Get on over there, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Fantastic website. And pick up phone, give them a call, 608-636-3343, the number 636 Edge. We will continue our conversation with Mike Tuig of Edge Construction next here on 1310 WIVA.
The Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues now on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction Online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. All one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Telephone number 636-3343, that number 636 Edge. Talking this week with Mike Tuig about some of the conversations you should have, kind of like that interview process for getting to know your contractor getting to know you as well. These are very important questions to be asking up front. And some of them are really fun to be talking about. Some of them are just sometimes hard to bring up, but it's an important part of that. And this next one is definitely one of those, which is the budget word. And being straightforward about what the price range is, kind of what you're looking to spend, what you're looking when it comes to any type of remodel, being straightforward with your contractor about kind of where that budget is, isn't it?
Okay, I'll ask you, John. You bought a truck recently,
yes,
right?
Yes, yep.
Now, if the salesman would have said, okay, what's your budget? What would you have said?
I would have said quite a bit lower than what he...
Or you would have said, why would I tell you?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, my budget's $50,000. Oh, luckily we have $49.99, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I sort of feel like that a little bit when we're asking about budget on first meeting, because about half the people will say, listen, this is our range. You know, we're not going to go over this. And then there's the other half that go, well, I'm not going to tell you that. That's crazy. Why would I give that away?
Yeah.
I'll approach it from our side and why we need that information. For one, it's always valuable, and yeah. it has no impact on us trying to get as much out of you as possible. Most of the time when people give us their wish list and then give us a budget, or even don't give us a budget, but they have it in the back of their mind, they know that their wish list is going to add up to more than what that number is. So if you give us that number, it's doing two things. It's going, well, okay, they watch TV and they think that they can remodel their kitchen for $10,000 and get stone countertops and all this stuff. And it's, we need to talk about that. Or a lot of times they go, oh, we've got a realistic budget, or at least something that we think is close. That puts us in this mood of, oh, great, now we can get to work. We can design a kitchen, and we sort of know what path to go down. It gets more important, like if the project is bigger. Let's say it's a very big interior project, like where everything's getting torn apart and remodeled, or we're doing some kind of addition or something like this. We won't do first pricing without some indication of budget. We got to have that conversation, because getting the first pricing for us means we don't use past projects to budget. So we have to build it in CAD. Then we've got to build it in a spreadsheet and actually bid out things and come up with pricing for what we think you're going to be picking out. We're looking into the future. It's just a lot of effort. And some of these projects take 20 to 30 hours of upfront just to get to a first ballpark price, but it's a pretty legit price. And so we just can't do that without this discussion on budget.
So, and with that, is you mentioned, you know, kind of sometimes people's approach, honesty is super important here. This is what is realistically what you're looking to spend, because it really makes, you know, you don't want to waste any time. You don't want to waste any money working on something that may not be exactly feasible, or conversely, maybe, you know, you may look at it and go, oh, I expected more. Well, you know, there's more to it, isn't there?
There is. That being said, I don't know if anybody's completely honest on budget. Yeah. Like, and I probably would be a little bit that way myself. I'm like, well, okay, I want to give them a realistic number, but if I really like design, and as you go through this process, you know, there might be things that I want that'll add on and increase this budget.
What about, and before we head out this week, what about the conversation about maybe you've got a certain set of skills, maybe you're a particularly good painter, or maybe you were a carpenter in a previous life, or maybe you are good with a sledgehammer and good at cleaning up that demolition. Having a conversation about, is there room for a homeowner to either get involved in some way if they've got something, or bring something if they've got like a special piece that they want included? That's important to bring up front too, isn't it?
It is, because for first pricing, we're probably going to price that all in, mm-hmm. but it really can make the project go if somebody says, let's peel the paint part out. I feel like we can do that. Hey, great. We'll take that out. We spent a lot of hours on painting. It's, and we charge for it, but you know, you're getting what you're getting. You're going to get a really great project, but there are some pretty competent painters out there, and that's probably the easier one. I get excited about demo. We actually had a homeowner, I think probably first time ever, that really did they demoed their kitchen and all their flooring, pretty much first floor flooring. And I walked in and went, wow, this is amazing. You know, they're, because they got rid of it too. They didn't just stack it outside and wait for us to show up. They got rid of it. Everything was clean. They did a fantastic job. That's one that I'm sometimes reluctant to take out, because a demo isn't just, you know, the TV version. You know, you got to get down and dirty sometimes. But, a lot of the cost is actually in getting that dumpster there and getting rid of things.
Pulling tacks and staples exactly. and nails out of flooring. And oh my gosh, demolition is, getting things cleaned up and ready for remodel can be a lot of work. And really good stuff this week. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the program, you can always check out WIBA.com, listen to the podcast, the website for Edge Construction, edgeconstructioncompany.com, and their telephone number 608-636-3343. This is the Home Remodeling Show, brought to you by Edge Construction here on 1310 WIBA.